Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and today we're going to talk about antique quilts. We're going to talk about jelly rolls, and we have somebody special on who has a big 20th anniversary, and we're going to spend some time finding out what makes her tick. Okay, so now we are going to talk to Kimberly Imo, and if you have not met Kimberly yet, you are in for a real treat. Kimberly and I just taught together at the Vermont Quilt Show, so I got to know her a little bit, and I got to see all of the amazing quilts that her students produced in her classes. It was phenomenal. Plus, you know, you probably know Kimberly from her jelly roll, fame, but she also does many, many more things. So, hi, Kimberly. How are you?
Hey, Pat. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. I'm so excited to, you live near me now. Isn't that fun?
I know. That is the best perk of moving up here to this area was we got to get together, and that was a great time. I felt like we'd known each other for a long time.
I know. You're very easy to hang out with.
You.
So tell me, how did you start quilting?
Well, I've been sewing since I was a little girl, making garments. But it wasn't until 1991, I was a new military wife, and we moved up here to the D.C. area for the first time. And I got off the King Street Metro and wandered by a quilt shop and was hooked from almost the second I walked in and just decided that's what I wanted to do when I grew up. So I basically begged the shop owner to let me start working there, and she did. And before long, I was teaching classes, and it was just from raw enthusiasm, and nobody told me I couldn't do it, so I just jumped right in and just took off from there.
At some point, Kimberly, you discovered jelly rolls and have really done some amazing quilts with them. Why are you personally fascinated with them?
Well, that's kind of a funny story too. I actually, we were living over in Germany for the second time. I had our second tour in Germany, and I had proposed my second book with the American Quilter Society. And my editor called, and she says, "We really like your idea, but would you consider writing a jelly roll book?" And I thought, sure, why not? The problem was there wasn't a jelly roll to be had in the whole continent of Europe. So I called some contacts and asked them to send some over to me. And when I first got the box of a whole bunch of different jelly rolls, they kind of sat on my design table for about 3 weeks, and I broke out in a cold sweat and thought, oh no, now what am I going to do with them? And the hardest part, I think, was untying the bow for the first time.
Oh, I know, because they're so cute.
They're really pretty stacked up there, but I thought, oh no, I've committed to doing this. I better dive in. So I untied the bow, and once I got started, I basically couldn't shut it off. I just kept coming up with more and more things I could do with them and just had so much fun. There's so much design potential in those wonderful 2.5-inch strips.
And because that part of it's already cut, then you end up adding a couple other fabrics to make the amazing quilts.
Right. There's been a couple patterns where I've tried to use just the jelly rolls or just the layer cakes, but I find it works a lot easier if I bring in at least one more fabric, because there tends to be a lot of busyness going on with those pre-cuts, a lot of fabrics that want to be the stars and not so many blenders. So I find if you add one fabric, like a background fabric, that's maybe a solid or, you know, a tone-on-tone or something that reads like a solid, it gives the eye a place to rest and lets all those glorious fabrics do what they need to do to make the design work. So that's a real good tip, is just adding one or maybe two other fabrics that would be in yardage amounts that really makes those designs pop and lets those pre-cuts do what they do best.
And they don't even have to be fabrics from the same fabric.
No, line. And a lot of times I like to incorporate a fabric that isn't from that fabric line, just because then it makes them look a little sparklier. Or I'll throw in a fabric from my stash that really wasn't with the fabric line, but adds that sparkle. Or sometimes that's the best place to use your ugly fabrics. You can really throw in some of those ugly fabrics that you bought, 15 years ago that you don't know what to do with. A strip or two of those thrown in there too can and add a lot of excitement and sparkle, and you're not quite sure why it looks better, but it really does. So that's a good tip.
All right, so I'm going to have to start thinking about that. The ugly fabrics go added in. And you have another amazing, like, why didn't we think of this ourselves tip about the jumble.
Oh, my best tip ever. Well, anyone who's ever untied the bow knows that two things happen. Number one, you'll never roll those strips back up again real pretty. And number two is it looks like a little crumb bomb goes off in your room. So before you untie the bow, take one of those sticky tape lint rollers and roll it over the top and bottom of your pre-cuts, your jelly rolls or your honey buns, before you untie the bow. And you may go through a couple of those pieces of tape, but you'll reduce your lint by about 80%. So it's a really good tip.
Oh, yeah, and don't wear black pants when you open them up.
Yes, never wear black pants
never.
Or white.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're just covered. You rolled around on the floor for a few days.
And then use that lint roller to roll yourself before you leave the room.
Exactly. And you actually have your third Jelly Roll book coming out soon, right?
Actually, it's the fourth. Jelly Roll book, my fourth book coming out. You're right. It's called Pre-Cuts Bonanza. It's coming out in either late August or early September.
Exciting.
That'll be the end of my Jelly Roll trilogy, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know you make all kinds of beautiful quilts. So,
Thank you. You
have some others up your sleeve, I am sure.
Yeah, I'm working on some other things coming down the pike here shortly. So,
well, tell me a little bit about moving a studio, because you are an expert at it.
Expert by default, only because we've moved 14 times in the last 24 years. And my husband keeps saying, this is the last one. But literally, we just moved again. We've moved actually four times in the last 6 years alone. But we bought a house here. We intend to stay. And this time, he's letting me kind of design a dream studio, which is really fun. But I've made studios work wherever we've been. And I've had, anything from a closet to shared a room, a guest room. I've worked in a basement dungeon type area where there was no light. That was real challenging, no natural light. I've taken over what was an old doctor's studio or doctor's waiting area. So I've had some really interesting spaces. But the thing is I get in there and I just try to set it up as or feng shui it as best I can, meaning I try to set it up so everything is accessible. I can get right to the ironing board next to where I would sit to sew. So I could just turn and iron or press easily. Mm-hmm. I always try to have a space where I can cut at the proper height so I don't get back pain. And sometimes that's been on top of a washer and dryer. Not when they're running, of course, but just have to make it work. Sometimes the kitchen counter is a really good height.
They are.
Yeah, right across the hall from one of my studios, I had the washer and dryer, and I found that was actually a really good height for cutting. So I just kind of make it work wherever we're at.
Do you have a way, like if somebody was planning to move right now, would there be like a tip that you could give them that would just help them along with their studio move?
Absolutely. If they have their stash organized, when I'm packing that stash up, I literally try to use small book boxes. First of all, because fabric is so heavy, just like books can be really, really heavy, and you don't want to use a medium box. You really want to use a small box. And then I label those like 1A, 1B, 1C that would fit in a cabinet or a cupboard or a closet so that when I get to the other end, I can lift those fabrics right out of that box and stick them back in the same order, because I've spent way too many years trying to rearrange the color wheel or the stash, you know, my stash. So I feel like if I pack them up very orderly and label the boxes that way, and I never let the movers do it, I do that part myself, because otherwise right. they would just throw it all in. Then they come out of the boxes that way, and that really helps.
Oh, that's excellent, excellent. Yeah. I haven't had to move my sewing area except for to different rooms within the house, so that's a little different. Yeah.
But
and you love
moving...
to teach. You love to teach, Kimberly.
Oh,
you
yes.
travel, and
yeah.
it's just amazing. Do you have like a schedule on your website?
I do. It needs to be updated right now, but I do have some great places that coming up. I'm going to be teaching at some guilds at Road to California next spring. I've got two quilting cruises on for next year, one for the Western Caribbean and one to Alaska in June. So I've got some real fun places coming up.
And if they can't come to you, then you have some online, too.
I do. I just launched through craftseat.com a video series, an online class series of some of my best classes and my most popular classes. And that was a lot of fun to do. I really enjoyed doing that. It was my first time doing a video, and I had a ball. Of course, I think there was enough outtakes to fill a complete blooper reel.
You know, I'm not surprised by that, Kimberly. I don't know why. I'm just not.
I'll tell you, though, but the production crew that shot it, boy, they're quilting pros by the end of the week.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. So now you love to travel.
Yes.
And you've done a lot of it. What is one of your favorite like sort of travel experiences?
Well, wherever we go, and I always keep an open mind, and our sons, boy, they've traveled with us. They're both teenagers, but they have a lot of frequent flyer miles. You know, we've traveled all over the world, but he never saved a dime, really, but we've had a lot of fun. What I like to do is wherever we are, I like to search out souvenirs, but the kind of textile souvenirs. So I'll look for fabrics that are local. A lot of places may not have cotton fabrics. So I'll look for other things like trims or ribbons or buttons. You can always find those kinds of things in different countries or areas. And I'll try to find things that are indicative to that local area. And then those are kind of my souvenirs. And whenever I can, I try to incorporate those into my quilts, even the jelly roll quilts. I'll try to throw some of those fun pieces in, because then that's kind of a nice reminder or a nice souvenir that either goes up on the wall or, you know, I can just display that is a great reminder of traveling. And you can always find something that's textile or, you know, fabric related, even if it's not actual fabric.
I think tea towels, you know, are pretty easy to find.
Tea towels are awesome. Oh, yeah. You can always find those in every country.
Kimberly, this has been wonderful to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you, Pat. This has been so much fun. I really am honored that you asked me, and so glad that we're living almost in the same neck of the woods and can easily get to one another now.
This is true. This is true. Visit Kimberly Imo at KimberlyEINMO.com. We'll be right back after this break. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Come back next week for an all-new show.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.